Good evening. Welcome to sheerenjoyment.com. We begin, as we always do, by giving a special thank you, Hakaras Hatayf, to Mitch Green for his technical assistance. Mitch is right here with us. We have to start with him. He is our incredible, awesome technical assistant, director, technical director. He takes care of everything and devoted to the cause. The Lave of the Nefesh. Thank you, Mitch. Likewise, we want to give a shout out to Jake Weinman for his creation. It's also diligent efforts on behalf of sheerenjoyment.com. We're going to learn also Zeicher Nishmas Chayalim, that given up their lives, the victims of terror in Eretz Yisrael. It's been a long time and very frightening that the situation is still not under control, and we are misfollowing, and we are going to learn that our learning should be a zechus for the hostages, that they should be returned home safely very, very soon, and Hashem should guard and protect the chayolim who are putting their life in harm's way, for their families, who suffer from enormous anxiety as we can't even imagine. And likewise for Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world who are vulnerable to the hatred and anti-Semitism that is out there in the world. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachamim, protect us, and bring a salvation to Klal Yisrael very soon. Today, this week's parasha is Parashas Vayakel. A lot of things going on this week, actually. This Shabbos Mevorachim, I think it's Mochar Chodesh. We don't lay in Mochar Chodesh because there's another Haftarah that trumps Mochar Chodesh, and that is Parashas Shkolim. So, Mirtz Hashem, this Shabbos, it's Mochar Chodesh, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, and it's Shabbos Shkolim. Ordinarily, we lay in two parshios together, Vayakel Pekudei. This year, we have a unique situation because it's a leap year. We're only going to be laying in one parsha. We get a little bit of a break. Not a break, I don't mean it that way, but we only lay in one parsha, Parshas Vayakel. Parsha Yakel, I want to talk about the parsha, even though there are so many other things going on, but I would like to talk about the parsha today. I want to focus on a popular topic. Many Rabbanim, because there's not all that much new material. A lot of it is review of Parshas Terumah, not everything. There's certainly an infinite number of things to discuss, but I've noticed over the years that Parshas Vayakel, especially when it's a leap year and we only lay in one parsha, a very popular topic is the Kiyor. Now, the Kiyor we learned about last week in Parashas Kisisa, in the beginning of the parasha, but here we have a new detail about the Kiyor that we did not have before. And that is, where did to make the Kiyor? Pasuk in the end of the parasha of Vayakel, the very end, Vayas eis ha-Kiyor nechoshes, veis kana nechoshes, b'marois ha-tsoi ve'ois, asher tsovu pesach ohel moed. They made the Kiyor, copper, and its base, the Kiyor has two parts. It has the base and has the main basin from which they was filled with water in order to wash the hands and feet of the Kohanim. And it was made from, Pasuk here tells us exactly where the Nechoshes, the copper, came from. Bimarois hatsoivois asher tsovu pesach ohel moed. Now, these words are very difficult to translate. Rashi, you get a sense, is struggling to translate the words precisely. Targum seems to be saying something a little bit different, and it's not even really clear what the Targum means, but let's, for the moment, follow Rashi. And Rashi says the word marois means a mirror, mirrors. Now, there are a lot of different types of mirrors. In ancient times, mirrors were made from copper. I actually once went to a museum, the Living Torah Museum in Borough Park, and the curator, the owner, is Rabbi Deutsch, and he actually has in his possession a copper mirror from ancient times. I don't know exactly what era. I remember vaguely he was claiming it could be very, very old. I mean, going back very, very early times. And it was, what he had in his possession then was completely rusted. It was just, it wasn't. And he wanted to have it restored. I remember that he told us it would cost an outrageous amount of money to have it restored. He wanted to do half to show what it looks like now and what it would have looked like then, and to show us how this chunk of copper, when it was polished and treated, was a beautiful mirror. And he actually let us hold it, and it was very heavy chunk of copper. And that was, something, a dogma, an example of what this mirror may have looked like in ancient times. And this mirror was something which women had; they possessed today, like a vanity. It was a, suddenly it was miyuchad for nashim. And Rashi explains that the women. Rashi elaborates. He tells us the entire story that women, their husbands were doing slave labor out there in the field, and they went out into the field to bring them food and drink, and they would take out the mirror, and they would look, they would look at each other, they would hold a mirror, and they would look at the mirror, both a husband and wife together, and the wife would tease their husband by saying that, "Look, I'm much more beautiful than you." This is what Rashi says. And through this activity, it would bring between them a love, a chiba, and subsequently it led to them having children. And these children that were conceived through the use of these mirrors is what built, produced the multitudes of the Jewish people. The word tzeva means an army. It means an army, a battalion, it means a host, a very large connection of a collection of people. Of we use the word tzva for stars. We use the word tzva, chayalei tzva, haganah Yisrael, for people in an army. And klal Yisrael multiplied, through these mirrors. Now, at face glance, this was an object of the Yetzer Hara, something that is mundane, beauty to bring forth from their husband's taiva, desire. And Rashi says that these mirrors, when Moshe saw these mirrors, they were detestable, ma'us, disgusting, apart, detestable. The last thing Moshe Rabbeinu would want to use and include in the Mishkan. And shockingly, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Moshe, these mirrors are more beloved to me than anything else that has been gifted to the Mishkan." I'll read the words of Rashi. It's a shocking, shocking Rashi. Rashi over here says, "Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kabel, accept, ki elu chavivin olai min hakol, sha'al yideihem, through these mirrors, ha'amidu hanoshim, the women, they brought forth tzivaois rabois b'Mitzrayim, large numbers of people, multitudes." And therefore Moshe took mirrors and he used these mirrors to produce the kiyor, the wash basin in the Mishkan, from which the Kohanim daily, whenever they did avoda, would wash their hands and feet. Okay, now so how is Rashi translating the pasuk? Vayas eis hakir hanechoshes eis kana nechoshes b'marois, the mirrors hatsoideis, that were responsible, instrumental in bringing forth the tzavois of the Jewish people. And these mirrors were brought, asher tzavu'u. Rashi appears at the end to say that they were brought. Here, the second, the women gathered. The word tzavu'u here in the end of the pasuk, it's same letters, but here it means something a little bit different. The women themselves, they gathered in large numbers in front of the Pesach Ohel Moed to present these mirrors as a gift for the Mishkan, again, which Moshe subsequently used to make the Kiyar. Targum, it's not so clear what the Targum says, but Targum is one point that the women would come to congregate and daven. Asher tzavu Pesach Ohel Moed, the Osyon litzalo'o, the women came to pray Bisra at the gate of the Mashkan Zimla of the Ohel Moed. So the women, they brought forth these beautiful mirrors. They presented to Moshe, and Moshe used it to make the kiyar and its base. And these women, when did they present? They presented it when they would anyway come every day to daven at the Ohel Moed. The Mishkan was a base tefillah. And here the Pasuk is telling us, according to the Targum, it's an incredible Targum. The women would come very often to congregate there to daven to Hashem. And when they came, they brought with them these beautiful mirrors. This is Rashi. Rashi, without question, is the Ikar Rashi. What Rashi says is the fundamental perush, the Mesorah, what the Psukim and Chumash mean. I'd like to share with you a drush, something a little bit different. And what I'm going to share with you is not a complete idea. It's just something to think about and something for you to further develop by studying another very difficult sugya, perhaps to be, we can do, can make a connection. So let's just try to present the idea, the basic raw idea. The raw idea I'm referring to is, it was another time in Jewish history, in fact, the very beginning of our history, where a woman, and really more specifically, a man, saw his wife in the mirror. And who am I referring to? I'm referring to a Midrash, which Rashi alludes to, Parshas Vayera, Parshas Lech Lecha, I'm sorry, Parshas Lech Lecha. When Avraham Avinu went to Haran, and there was a famine in the land, and had no choice but to go down to Mitzrayim, Pasuk says, Vayhi kasher hikriv lovo Mitzrayimah, Vayomer, he said, El Sarai Ishto, hineinu yodati, I now know, ki isha, Yifas Mare Ot. I know that you are a beautiful woman. And Rashi here says that there was a story. There was an event. There was an event where Avram was traveling. I'll read you the words of the Rashi. Rashi says, Hineinu yodati, Ad achshav lo bo, mitoch tznius. Until this present time, Rashi is something that's very difficult to understand. Avraham Avinu did not recognize his wife. He did not know what she looked like due to her tznius. Sarah was extremely discreet. Tznius shebishneihem. The achshav now, hikirvo al yidei maisa. He came to recognize her, what she looked like through a maisa. What is the maisa? So the Medrash says the maisa was they were traveling, and there was a puddle of water. There was a puddle of water. And Avraham saw the image of his wife as they passed this puddle of water. Puddle of water served as a mirror to Avraham Avinu. He saw her image in this puddle of water. And now he said to his, wow, I didn't realize I have an exquisitely beautiful wife. And we're coming amongst men in Egypt due to the famine. I'm going down to Egypt. These men are not accustomed to seeing a beautiful woman, and this can be very dangerous, and they can very easily decide to eliminate me and take her for themselves. If we told Sarah, we have to have a plan of action, and I want you to say that you are my sister. We all know the psukim. Hinei no yodati. Behold, now I know. Ki isha yifas mara. You are a beautiful woman. They're going to kill me and they're going to let you live. And therefore, Ibrida Chesiadlaman. And we know the whole story. They come to Egypt, she's abducted, she's taken to Paro. Paro is smitten by Hashem. And at the end, Paro gives Avraham lavish gifts and sends Avraham on his way. This story repeated itself a little bit differently later in Parashas Vayera when they came to the land of Plishtim, Gerar, where Avimelech did the same thing. And there as well, Avram said to Sarah, "Sarah, this time I want you to lie. I want you to say that you're my sister." The same thing happened before. It didn't work there as well. Avimelech took her, and he was smitten. And at the end, Avimelech said to Avram Avinu, "Why didn't you tell me?" And Avram Avinu said, "I know, ki rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. This place, there is no fear of God. In yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'haragoni, you'll kill me al davar ishi. If I were to tell you that this is my wife, there's no question because of your lack of yiras shamayim. When there's no yiras shamayim, and you see a beautiful woman, it means one thing." You will eliminate me and you will take her. And it was sakonis nefashos, and I had no choice but to do this. Again, because there's no Yirat Shemayim. So we have over here two stories. The story that happened to Avraham Avinu in the Mitzrayim, the story that happened to Avraham Avinu by the Plishtim, by Gerar. There's a similar story that happened later with Yitzchak and Rivka. But let's not for the moment go. Let's just focus on these two stories. And how did it all start? It all started when Avraham Avinu saw his wife in a mirror. The mirror was water. Water. A mirror of water. Babua. What does Rashi here tell us in our parasha about the mirror? The Nashim took these mirrors, they came, and they held up the mirror in front of their husband. And what did their husband see in the mirror? They saw their wife. Isn't it strange? Why do you need a mirror to see your wife? Look at your wife. You need a mirror to see what your wife looks like? Look right at your wife and see what your wife looks like. The women came to the field. They gave their husband food, drink, and they brought a mirror. And they say to the woman, and they brought a mirror, and they hold the mirror, and they tell their husband, look at the mirror. And in the mirror, they see them together. And the woman says, look, look, I'm much more beautiful than you, and so on and so forth. Why do you have to have a mirror? Look at me. Want to look at them together? Okay, you know, we can play around with this, try to understand the psychology. But when we go back and we focus on the story of Avraham and Sarah, this has a whole new meaning. Because Avraham saw, he didn't look at his wife. What that means, we don't really know. This is, we have to understand depth. It's very unlikely to say that Avraham did not know what Sarah made her look like. That's a hard sell. But there is a principle of tzius, and Avraham Avinu, they were very miserable on tzius, and then through this incident, he saw what she looked like through a puddle of water. Because of that incident, Avraham Avinu came to realization that if you don't have Yirat Shamayim, it could be a very dangerous world. Set it out, the Farish, the second incident, but certainly that's part of the concern in the first incident. The Haraguni kill me. And he said this out again at the second story, explaining when there is no Yirat Shamayim, it could lead to worst averus. Now, the Noshim fast forward to the Mishkan. Right, the Mishkan and the women are coming to the Mishkan, and they're coming to bring mirrors. And what does the Targum say? When are they bringing these? They're bringing these mirrors when they're coming to daven to Hashem. Asher tzavu Pesach ohel moed. Look at the Mefarshim here. They say from here we learn that the Mishkan. This is a very interesting question. Who says the Mishkan was a place to daven? Maybe the Mishkan was. You bring sacrifices. This that we are familiar that the Beis Hamikdash. He basically based the tefillah amen. That's the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mikdash. But the Mishkan, who says it was a place where people would congregate to daven? From this Targum, we see that yes, the Mishkan was no different than the Mishkan was no different than the Mikdash. The women came to daven. What is the first thing we say when we daven in the morning? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Seichel Toiv L'chol HaSeif. The first thing you say in daven.
Reishis chochma yiras Hashem seichel tayuch mozeh. Your davening is only as good as a yiras shemayim. The whole davening is all built on the foundation of yiras shemayim. It's not a coincidence that the Noshim are coming to bring a mirror, suggesting as a zecher, the first mirror of where a woman's beauty was presented to a man, none other than Sarah Imenu, the Avraham Avinu. And Avraham saw her beauty. And Avraham Avinu from that dwelt, focused on the concept of Yirah Shamayim, how a bracha in this world, it is, bracha is a bracha. Bracha is meant to be relished, enjoyed, to be celebrated. But with every bracha comes a nisoyon of the bracha has to be guarded in the proper way so it should not lead to a danger. A danger for ourselves, a danger for others, a danger for the world. The only way to protect, the only protection that can shield the danger of a blessing in this world from harm, from causing harm or being harmful, is Yirah Shamayim. Ato yodati ki ishri fasmarit. And he said, later he says, Rak in Yirah Selukim b'mokoy mazeh. The women understood that. And thus, when the women came to daven, to pray, and the first thing you say when you daven is Reishis Chochma Yirah Hashem, they put the mirrors as a token of acknowledgement that we need in our lives to develop Yiras Elokim. We need to develop Yiras Elokim in order to grow in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what do they want to use this copper for? Mayim. Water. Water which was used for cleansing. But it's also a zecher of the puddle of water in which Avraham Avinu saw was a mirror for him to see the beauty of his wife and to take that beauty and to come to appreciate that in this world, if there's no Yirah Shamayim, then beauty and success and blessing can be very dangerous. May it be the will of Hashem that He bestow upon everyone here who was devoted to come learn every Monday night, every night of the week, every night of the week. Thanks to SheerJohnJohn.com with Mitch Green and with Jake Wyman, all of the other Chashan Rabbanim. Hashem should bestow upon you a shefa of yofi, blessing, beauty. Beauty is a general term which includes everything. And we should be able to properly protect the bracha and use the bracha to bring more kvod shamayim through the ultimate and the only tool of yiras shamayim. Thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful, successful week. Bracha v'hatzlacha to everyone here. Good night.